All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hello and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer, second class, I guess you could call it, helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969 with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company. And I want to welcome you today to Veterans Radio. We're really excited to have you here. Today is our benefits program. And so we're here to answer any of your questions you have about either health care or benefits through the VA. And the number here is 734-822-1600. That is 734-822-1600. I've got two experts on the benefits, and I'm waiting for somebody from the VA hospital who is supposed to be here. So hopefully he will come skidding in any moment now. But we'll talk about that in just a minute. I've got a couple of events that I did want to mention to you that I was really kind of excited about. Number one is there's an organization down in Toledo, Ohio called Veterans Matter. And Veterans Matter has their goal in life is to house homeless veterans. And what happens with, and Michael Smith is here with me from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, so he may correct me if I get this wrong. But the VA does provide housing for homeless veterans or helps find housing for homeless veterans. The problem is that they don't necessarily come up with the deposit for you to move into the homeless or into an apartment or wherever it is that they're moving you with. So Ken Leslie founded this organization, Veterans Matters, and what they do is that they come up with the funding to put the deposit down on the apartments or wherever these veterans are moving. Well, a big milestone occurred this last week when I got an email from Ken saying, hey, could you announce that Veterans Matter has now housed over 3,000 veterans? 3,000. That is amazing. And this is not necessarily a nationwide organization. This is mostly northern Ohio, southeast Michigan, and across the borders there in that area there. So we want to give out a big Veterans Radio shout out to Ken Leslie and Veterans Matter organization for helping house over 3,000 homeless veterans. And if you want to support them, just go to your magic computer, type in Veterans Matter, and their website will come up, and you can make a donation to them because obviously some of these organizations want a lot of deposit money to get these folks in there. So again, congratulations to Veterans Matter. So you'll be hearing PSAs throughout the day all about them. The other thing that is coming up that I'm really excited about is Veterans Radio is really proud, I guess you could say, and honored to sponsor our first, very first, There I Was, as a Veterans Open Mic Night that's coming up on this coming Wednesday, July 31st, at VFW Hall, 423 down on Wagner Road here in Ann Arbor. Now, this is something where we're hoping that veterans will come and tell their stories, and we're going to be, you know, we set it up just like an open mic night, and they'll go down there, and we've got some rules and regulations regarding language, let's put it that way. Depending, you always have to know who your audience is whenever you give anything. So anyway, this is going to run, as I said, this Wednesday from 6 until 8 o'clock p.m. And we're hoping that we'll get a lot of different veterans from a lot of different organizations. This is for veterans from any era. You know, we're not trying to be specific here at all. Men, women, even family members are more than welcome to tell the stories of their veterans. This first one that we're going to be talking about is what is your, why did you get into military? How did you get into the military? Did you enlist? Were you drafted? Other, as we mentioned earlier. And I got this Facebook post today on our website from a guy I served with in Vietnam. And it says, he was saying, how did you get into the service? And he says, well, I avoided the draft. And then the next line was, I enlisted and I left the country. And I looked at her for a minute and then I said, so he avoided the draft. I avoided the draft. I enlisted, went through flight school. Then I left the country to Vietnam. And evidently, that's where Ralph went. So, Ralph Carroll, thank you very much for that little story there that you avoided the draft by enlisting and going to Vietnam. That's going to real extremes to get out of the draft. But anyway, that's a story, and hopefully, and I'm sticking to it. So hopefully people will show up there at the VFW of 423 down on Wagner Road. It's 3230 South Wagner Road in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You're all welcome. Come on down, have a good time, and let us know what you think about it. It's something that I would love to see expand around the country, just to get these guys, to men and women, to record their stories. All right. The other thing I have written down here, let's see. Okay, avoid draft veterans matters. That's that. Okay, I have to remind you all that you can follow us on Veterans Radio on Facebook, on Twitter. If you have any comments about the program, suggested storylines that you'd like us to cover, or just to let us know if you like the program, if you don't like the program, what we can do to improve it, or maybe you know of a radio station somewhere out where you are that would be willing to carry our program, just go to our website, veteransradio.net, and there's a contact form there, and you can just tap us in there, and we'll be happy to follow up on it and see what's going on. All right, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to start talking about benefits on here. So remember, the number is 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Kid Rock. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Make a pledge to veteransmatter.org. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. They fought for us. Now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and this is our benefits program. And one of my guests here, who has been a frequent guest here on Veterans Radio, reminded me that I didn't mention our sponsors. Holy moly, am I in big trouble over that one. So I will. You just heard the ad for Legal Help for Veterans. This is Legal Help for Veterans handles disability claims only for veterans. So you can just go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The other is U.S. Wings. U.S. Wings is a provider of military jackets, leather jackets. By the way, today is the drawing for this month's military flight jacket. So you got to stay tuned and be listening at the end of the program so that we can let you know if you won. We've had over 600 entries, and we're really excited about that. And of course, we would not be here without the financial support of good old VFW 423, American Legion Post 46, and the Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles Kettles, Post 310 here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We want to thank all of them for their continued financial support. It does, unfortunately, cost money to do this program, and so we need to depend on them. And also, I want to thank a couple of people did go last week, had sent us some money on our donation page on our website. So thanks to those people that did that. You know, it's greatly appreciated that we know that people are out there and listening to us. So now, we'll come back to the format of the program, right? Get your pencil out because we're going to be talking benefits, so make sure that you're available there. So joining me in the studio right now is Michael Smith, and Michael is the Executive Director of the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office and also a United States Army veteran. So Michael, welcome back.
Dale, thank you. It's always good to be in the studio with you.
I know. I'm glad that you were there. We're having some computer issues here this morning, so this afternoon, so that's why Michael had to remind me. My checklist is on my computer, and it's not working today. Joining us on the line is our good friend from Legal Help for Veterans, a retired Air Force Brigadier General, Carol Ann Trousone. Welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon, Dale and Michael. What a beautiful day today, and I'm excited to talk about the benefits for our veterans.
Okay, yeah, we hope we will. We've got a couple of questions from people that have sent things in. And I guess I know, Michael, we talked about this one before, and this was from a gentleman who wanted to know, why can't he collect his disability payments along with his retirement money? Because he retired from the Army. He says, you can do this in civilian life. Why can't I do it in the military?
That's true, Dale. But the United States government has always had a law, basically, that deals with what we call concurrent receipt of what they say are benefits that basically cover the same life event. In this case, it's service in the United States military with a retirement. And then on the other side are disabilities that are incurred as a result of that active duty military service. So in 2004, we saw some great gains in dealing with this issue of concurrent receipt when two programs were introduced that basically were intended to pay back veterans who were military retirees and also receiving disability compensation and having their retired pay reduced by the same amount of money that they were receiving in VA comp because of this concurrent receipt issue. So one of those programs is called combat-related special compensation. This is where the veterans apply to their branches of service and ask them to consider if they should be paid back that money on the premise that the disabilities that they're receiving that money for were directly related to combat. And there are several, I think we did cover this on one show before, mm-hmm. There are several combat codes. A lot of people think, well, I never served in combat, but yet the branches of service treat that idea of combat in a different way. There is actual combat. So if your disabilities did stem from actual combat, then that's mm-hmm. one code. There's another one called simulation of war, which are basically training exercises or when you're training for war. The other one, a combat code, is instrumentality of war, which is, hey, if a aircraft or a piece of military equipment caused that disability, that is the other combat code. The other one is hazardous duty, such as parachuting or diving or being a crew chief or any of those hazardous duty statuses. Then there's mustard gas and Agent Orange. So if your disabilities were caused by any one of those combat codes, then your branch of service at the VA rates of compensation, including their rates for dependents, will pay you back that money that was offset by your receipt of VA comp. So you kind of get three mm-hmm. checks. You get a check from the VA, you get a check from Defense Finance and Accounting Services for your military retired pay, and then you get a check from your branch of service paying you back that money. Now, not in all instances does the branch of service agree that all your disabilities that you're getting VA compensation for are combat related, but in most instances they do. Mm-hmm. The other program is called Concurrent Retired and Disability Payments, or CRDP. That is for any veteran who is service-connected at from 50% to 100%. They automatically get concurrent receipt of both benefits. And on the initial outset, though, the United States Department of Veteran Affairs will withhold that money based on retired pay, receipt of retired pay, until they get information from Defense Finance and Accounting Services that you are entitled to concurrent receipt. The VA then pays that money back to you, and from that point forward, you get your full VA compensation and your full retired pay without offset.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Since I'm not entitled to either one, it doesn't make any difference to me. But, Carol Ann, how are things up in the Legal Help for Veterans?
Well, things are pretty busy right now. There's a lot going on. But I want to get back to this question because, very importantly, we've done e-books at Legal Help for Veterans and probably have about 18 to 20 of them regarding eligibility, just a whole bunch of aid in attendance. And the one that hey, Michael, I think I'm going to fly it over to you to review that I just got done finishing is the concurrent pay, because this has been a huge issue and there have been changes. You summarized it beautifully. An increase in 2004 and then in 16 there was more added on. And so the veterans that are 50% or greater really do have a great opportunity to go back, and hopefully in January of 2020, hopefully all veterans who have concurrent pay, whether 50% or greater or even less, will get their double payment. But we're waiting for that to pass come January 1, and it be a new law. So, you know, I think this is huge for our veterans. And, you know, we have addressed this question many times before.
Well, yeah, and you know, General Faison, I'm glad you bring that out, because there is an issue of equity here and an issue of fairness in this regard. Military retired pay is what you earned based on your years of service and your honorable service to our country. And it's much like someone working for any other organization and putting their time in and retiring. But disability compensation was intended to make up for a veteran's lost earning capacity in the marketplace. So if you take a young kid like me who went in when I was 17 and I retired when I was 37, it's almost ridiculous to think that I am not going to go out into the marketplace and earn a living. Well, now I've got those disabilities related to my military service that are preventing me at being at my maximum earning capacity in the marketplace, much like anybody else who served 4 years or 10 years or whatever. And we're paying them that disability compensation to make up for that lost earning capacity. So when you take away from your years of service pay because of the compensation that you're right. receiving because of your lost yep. earning capacity in the marketplace, and then you go right. out in the marketplace and have limited job opportunities, it just seems to me like we're keeping our veterans in right. a financial wreck. And that's yes. just not fair, and it's just not equitable when you think about other people who work for the government and retire, and they can get both.
Excellent. I think you said that eloquently. And then earlier today, I heard of a veteran who is not involved with the disability, but he earned a living in the military, and now he can't even find a job that is comparable to what he did in the military. And he's like, why did I even get out? And so there are struggles for our men and women. And, you know, this is just not the right way to say, thank you for your service, but, oh, by the way, do this on your own.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, I was thinking about the other thing, too, General Faison. Think about the levels of responsibility that almost all of us yes. had. We were operating 2, 3, and 4, or $10 million pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. We had responsibilities for troops and their lives. We had responsibilities yep. to our those that were above us. We had our responsibilities to ourselves. And then we get out, and now we're working at Walmart for some 24-year-old kid who's wet behind the ears and never left the city that they live in now.
Yep.
Yes, it's a struggle.
It is a struggle.
It can be. When you know, somebody mentioned that the other day. I was talking to somebody else that was a kind of a senior officer, and he had been in for 30 years and, you know, retired. And then he said he got up, and the first problem he had was deciding what he was going to wear.
True.
Because yep. he said, I always gotten up and wore green.
Uh-huh.
He said, in my closet, you know, I had, you know, Paisley shirts or, you know, something left over from the 80s or something like that. And he says, I just stood there staring at it going, this is amazing. What? I used to be able to make decisions. You know, what am I going to do now? And I think that probably is, you know, we're laughing about it, but it is an issue that I think that many veterans run into, is that their whole life, that military life, has been controlled.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Everybody was
yeah.
always... See, well, depending on how far down the scale you were, everybody was always telling you where to be, what you were going to wear, what you were going to eat, and when you got off and when you didn't get off and so forth. And then you get out and suddenly you can make all those decisions on your own. And it can become very frustrating, I think, to many of them.
Yeah, I was giving a presentation to our trial court employees this past Friday. And you're right. You think about the reason why there's that rigidity is because we're in the business of the most dangerous business there is in this country, and that's war fighting. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be able to be in an environment where people listen, people do what they're told, and it's not so we can give our lives for our country. And I bite my tongue when I say that. It's so that we can defend our country and stay alive while we're doing it. So yeah, it's but you know, we all have readjustment issues when we come from the military back in the civilian world. And even that, I laugh because that was me, my first day of civilian life. Like, what in the world am I going to wear? And having a very limited wardrobe because, hey, I got one for free. And I got told what to wear every day, and the uniform of the day was this. But then you compound that readjustment with physical or mental disabilities or both.
Right.
And now you have veterans who are in a quandary. And that's the reason why we're here, and that's why your radio show is so important.
Well, I appreciate that because, yeah, that is what we're trying to do. So if you're out there and you have a question, give us a call, 734-822-1600. It doesn't have to be, a life thing. Maybe it's a friend of yours that's having issues, or maybe it's a veteran that you know that is having difficulty with homelessness. Maybe we can help. Maybe we can point you in the right direction. And that's our goal here at Veterans Radio, and that's our goal with Michael and General Falzone. I did have some good news for people that I found, and this came through Military Times, is that an additional 3 million people are going to be able to use the commissaries starting January 1st. And this includes, pay attention out there, all you veterans that happen to be listening, or if you live with a veteran, whoever got a Purple Heart, is collecting a service-connected disability, and I can't remember the other one, but I'll find it before the show is over. There were three of them in there that will, starting in January, be able to use the commissary at a military base wherever they happen to be near. So I thought that was kind of cool, really.
It is.
And it's, for those of you that have not been to a commissary, it's like a big government Walmart. Sort of. I don't know if the prices would be, like that or not, but the idea of being able to go into the commissary or the PXs and utilize those facilities will be a benefit to a lot of veterans that are out there, I think. So Michael, of course, is looking things up because he always knows how to do that kind of stuff.
Well, I agree. I shopped at the commissary, and here's the neat thing about it is you do have just about every product that you would typically buy in a grocery store. They're now reduced. The prices are reduced, much more so than what you find in any store. But the neat thing about the commissaries are the in-store coupons that basically say for commissary use only. So you can't snatch that coupon and go from the commissary to Kroger and think that you're going to be able to use it there. So now you've got prices that are already reduced below what you would find in Meijer or Kroger or any other grocery store, and now you have these in-store coupons specifically made for commissary use, and then now you're taking even more discounts off of your total price, and then you have the 4% surcharge as opposed to tax, which essentially is charged so that that money that's made can go back into the commissary to keep prices low. So yes, it is a huge benefit for many of our military folks, our retirees, and now this. You said 3 million?
Yeah, it said
3 million folks.
It said 3 million people, and I was going, wow, this is just great. I think it's very important that these people can do that. Now, not many of us live near military bases, and I'm not even sure where the nearest commissary would be around here.
It's at Selfridge Air National Guard Base.
Oh, okay. Here are my two experts. jump in and talk about those things. My next question was going to be about, we briefly mentioned earlier on about pensions and so forth, but I was reading on the VA website that there's actually a possibility of a pension for not necessarily retirees, but for veterans who don't meet the income levels. We got 3 minutes, and is that enough, or can we start in on it and continue?
Yeah,
well, but that if I'm not incorrect, that non-pension benefit has been around for the veteran and the spouse, but it is income-based, and that is what is called aid in attendance. But I have to be honest, a lot of people aren't aware of it, and so I probably last year assisted in over 150 aid in attendance applications going in, not only for the veteran, but for the spouse. And if the veteran dies, the widow is still eligible as long as they haven't remarried, and obviously keep the marriage certificate, the death certificate of the veteran, and we could proceed and go forward to help you get that benefit.
That's correct. There is, for the veteran, it's called the Non-Service-Connected Disability Pension. And, of course, for survivors, it's appropriately named Survivor's Pension. And the VA pays those pensions to veterans and survivors in three different categories. So there is a veteran who has disabilities not related to service that cause him or her to be unable to secure and maintain substantially gainful employment. And if and it doesn't regard
so that, so that means that they're on basically on Social Security disability. Possibly.
Well, they could be. They could be as well. Okay. And again, that Social Security disability payment is going to be considered income against this pension. So that the pension has a maximum annual pension rate that's established by Congress, and for veterans, it's around $13,000 for the first category. And then there's a veteran who's housebound. The maximum annual pension rate there is $16,540. And then, of course, there's a veteran who's in need of aid and attendance, and that maximum annual pension rate is over $22,000. So if their incomes are above those, the only category in which we can really secure that pension for them is the one for a veteran in need of aid and attendance. Similarly, they pay these same in categories for survivors. Survivor who just needs a pension, survivors who's housebound, or survivor who's in need of aid and attendance. Their rates are much lower, though, than this.
Okay. Well, we'll that and many more questions we will attempt to answer in the second half of the program. So give us a call, 734-822-1600, and we're going to be right back after the news. My name, I think we got some time. No, he's shaking his head. No, we got time. All right, so I'm going to remind you, all those people that are here in Radio Land, and now we don't have any time. So we'll be back after the news. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Sergeant First Class Donald Moyer threw himself on a grenade to save the lives of his comrades. Details after this. Moyer's platoon was committed to attack and secure terrain stubbornly defended by a numerically superior North Korean force in well-fortified positions. Advancing up the rocky hill, the leading elements came under intense automatic weapons, small arms, and grenade fire, wounding the platoon leader and platoon sergeant. Moyer rushed to the head of the faltering column, assumed command, and urged the men forward. Inspired by Moyer's unflinching courage, the troops responded. But as they reached the final approaches to the rugged crest of the hill, enemy fire increased in volume and intensity, and the fanatical foe showered the platoon with grenades. Undaunted, the group forged ahead, and as they neared the top of the hill, the enemy hurled a grenade into their midst. Moyer, fully aware of the odds against him, unhesitatingly threw himself on the grenade, absorbing the full blast of the explosion with his body. Although mortally wounded, Moyer's act saved several of his comrades from death or serious injury.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hey, this is Jennifer Nettles. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. They fought for us, and now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
And we are back here on Veterans Radio for the second half of the program. I am Dale Thronberry, your host for today, and joining us in the studio is Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Office of Veterans Services and retired General Carol Ann Fausone from Legal Help for Veterans. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you've got a question for us, give us a call at 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. Just before the break, we were talking about the new program that will allow people, other military veterans, to get access to the commissary and PXs and stuff around the country. And I see we have a question on the phone. So I'll go right to that. And it's Al, I guess. Hey, Al, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yeah, hi, Dale and Michael and the general there. I got my radio off so I don't get feedback here.
Hey, you know, how are you?
Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Yeah, the question, well, you had a concern. I got this from in the VA Chapter 310, Charles Kettle chapter, and I got an email here, I guess yesterday, about this benefits thing for the commissaries.
Right.
And it says here, all service-connected disabled veterans, Purple Heart recipients, former prisoners of war, and primary caregivers of wounded, injured veterans will be eligible to shop at the commissaries and exchanges. And officials from three federal agencies are preparing the way for this. Anyway, a question that I would have is, I am registered with the VA hospital, and if I was to go over to the Air National Guard base, would I be able to get on the base to go in there with my ID from the VA hospital? Do you have, you know, I'm in the old days in the Navy, of course, we had our regular military ID for active duty, so I would go on the base and show my ID. But will that get me onto the base there? That was a question that I had thought about, I am service connected, I served in the Navy. I was not a ground pounder. I wasn't. I'm Vietnam era, but I try to help out with the chapter as much as I can. John Kiesinger has been wonderful to my wife and I.
Well, my question, Al, did you mention that you had a service connected disability?
Yeah. But it's 10%.
That's all right.
It's not a lot, but it is service-connected. This all happened last year after 43 years. I guess I run into a lot of veterans that I talk to that say, oh, I made too much money. So I just gave up after several years, and I always went to our St. Joseph Hospital here in Ann Arbor, you know, in local doctor's offices, and gave up trying to get into the VA system. Well, last year, I needed the hearing aids, and my audiologist that I go to recommended that I try to get into the VA system. So I did last April, and I got my hearing aids. And
yes.
And I thank them so much. They're very expensive, and they do work very well. I have a very, very bad case of tinnitus. So, but I don't want to use airtime up for all my trouble.
No, we're not going to all of our.
But anyway, you know, that's what happened, and it keeps me up at night. Anyway, the question was, you know, I was commenting about the former prisoner of war and primary caregivers of wounded and injured veterans. I think that's the third statement that you're making to get into the commissaries.
Right.
But
Michael,
the question is, can I get on the base?
We have to ask about that. Hold on just a second.
Yes, Al, actually, and I think this is going to be somewhat problematic for me and some other veterans. But at this point, the forms of ID that will be used for access to the installation and to the stores is your veteran's health ID card that identifies to them that you are a disabled veteran. For caregivers, the VA will issue a letter to them come October that they will be able to use to get access to the base and the commissaries and the exchanges along with their a copy of their photo ID. At some point in the future, the VA will transition to a caregiver-type ID card for them. But my problem here is not all disabled veterans or veterans receiving disability compensation use the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs healthcare system. As a matter of fact, we've talked about that in the past, about the Commission on Care, and what's kind of prompted this move to getting more care in the community is because of how many veterans do not use the VA healthcare system for their healthcare. So they won't have a VA ID card to be able to get access to the installation. So I hope people can think a little bit more outside the box about what will and will not be accepted to allow them on the base. Maybe a copy of their rating decision or something
like
that.
Yeah, and then as far as veterans, you know, that I run into, they always said that they made too much money or something like that, and they just gave up trying to get into the VA system. And I encourage them to do that because I didn't know I qualified.
Well, so there's
after
a different...
43 years, I finally broke down and went over there and, geez, bingo bango, and took my tax records and all that stuff in, and was in. And I always thought I made too much money working with my engineering background.
Well, there's a difference. So this benefit, as you see, is expanded to any veteran who's service-connected. Any veteran who is service-connected can get their health care at the VA, and their income is not an issue. It's those who do not have service-connected disabilities that they imposed those geographic means tests, which are essentially income, to determine whether or not the VA was going to provide their health care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, thank you very much for the call. I think it's important to find out. Just remember to take your
good
service.
Good show there, Dale, and nice talking to you on the air. I've met you in person.
Well, yes, I know.
And we'll talk to you and hook up with you somewhere. We got our big Heritage Festival here in Ypsilanti coming up, and we're going to have VVA 310. Charles Kittle's chapter will be well represented there at our Heritage Festival.
They will be. They will be. Thank you very much for your call.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. I think the one thing that I have to remind people that, you know, if you do get a service-connected disability, your VA ID card says it right on the card. And I think that will be beneficial. And I'm guessing... So theoretically, and I wasn't even aware of this. So if I don't even go to the VA, I can still get my service-connected disability from somewhere, but I don't have to go to the VA for my exam or anything along those lines. I don't have to sign up into the system.
So there are many veterans that do not use the VA healthcare system, and they are receiving disability compensation.
Okay.
Right.
I did not know that.
And here's the big misnomer. I think when it's real frustrating, and I think that is the beauty of Veterans Radio and what we're trying to educate our veterans and their family. You know, Al said for 43 years, you know, he didn't go there because of income. Well, that is a misnomer. You know, if you have something that's going on because of your service, you need to go to a county counselor. You need to go to a VSO. You call Legal Help for Veterans and see if you are eligible. You know, it doesn't take anything for us to put in to see if you are eligible to say thank you for your service. So I think it's just real frustrating for me when veterans say that, and we come about and work with them and get them a disability rating, and then in some cases they pass this world, and the wife or significant other will say, oh my God, why didn't he go after this years before? Well, if you don't ask and reach out, you're never going to know.
That's true. And unfortunately, many of us are just stubborn for whatever reason. And I guess my question regarding the benefits for the VA facility, and I wish that our other guests had been here, is that even though you have, quote, higher income, you could still use the VA, but they bill your insurance company just like a regular hospital. Is that...
Well, absolutely. If you are 50% or greater rated, a disability rating, you could use the VA for every single service. Now, in Al's case, he was 10%, he said, for hearing. He could walk in there, get all of the service for hearing, his tinnitus. He said he got the hearing aids, and it's provided. So it depends on your disability. But once you're over 50%, you could walk in there and get health care.
I'm under 50%, and I get all of my health care at the VA now.
So it's a matter of who's going to pay for the health care. So
if
you're in priority group 3, that's those who are 0% to 20% service-connected. And the VA, as General Fasson said, will pay for your service-connected disabilities.
Only.
Meaning prescriptions or anything associated with it, like hearing aids, prosthetics, anything like that, you'll get free of charge. But all the rest of your health care, yes, will get charged to your insurance carrier. And then priority group 2 includes those who are 30 and 40% service connected. And again, the VA will pay for everything related to their service-connected disabilities without and but anything else that they're being treated for, the VA will charge insurance. Mm-hmm. And as General Fasson said, yes, 50%ers to 90%ers are going to get all their health care from the VA, regardless if it's a service-connected condition or not. The VA will not charge them co-pays. And then our 100%ers are in that category as well, but they get those additional benefits such as dental and vision and their whole total health care package.
Okay. We have another call from Whitmore Lake, Michigan, and it is Dave from Whitmore Lake. Dave, what's your question?
Yeah, I'm a veteran myself, and I belong to the Ann Arbor healthcare, VA healthcare system, and I'm a pretty healthy guy. I have no problems. But my brother lives in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he calls me from time to time needing money, which I send him and take care of him, and he's in kind of a weird living situation with he's kind of estranged from his wife, but they still live together. But anyway, he was in the service twice, as an officer and as an enlisted guy, honorably discharged both times. He keeps telling me he can't get VA health care. He's tried several times. He makes no money. They're actually really behind in bills. And I just can't believe he can't get signed up for VA health care. And he has multiple myeloma. He's 100% disabled. He said he's done some research. Now they're saying a lot of these people with this multiple myeloma, it's because of the bases they were stationed at. And I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I just absolutely can't believe this, that my brother can't get signed up for VA health care.
Carol Ann,
he doesn't make any money. I mean, his hands basically don't work. Well, he's on dialysis 3 days a week, and
okay, hold on just a second. Carol Ann, it sounds like something that maybe we could take off air and contact his brother or have his brother contact you and see if we can get the ball rolling.
Absolutely, because the pieces, and thank you for calling in, Dave, the pieces don't seem to match up. If he's 100% with a disability rating and he should be receiving the care through the VA. And so there is something, I agree with you, that's not matching. And so if you could please, we could contact you to get his name and number. Legal Help for Veterans is around the country, and we deal with these issues all of the time. I just don't understand.
Dave, I'd like to ask you a question. Is his multiple myeloma...
Go ahead.
Is his multiple myeloma a service-connected condition, or is it just something he was diagnosed with and it hasn't been established?
No, he was an editor of a newspaper, and then they folded, so he became a nurse at a prison after he got out of the service. So a couple years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with a multiple myeloma. He's just telling me when he calls me that he's been doing a lot of research, and he said that there's a lot of veterans that are being diagnosed with this because of the contamination at the sites they were at. But he's not, it's not a service-related disability as of now.
Okay.
But he's 100% disabled. He can barely use his hands to eat or talk on the phone. He uses a walker. He's on dialysis 3 days a week. I mean, if you're not 100% disabled that way, I don't know how you are, you know?
So that's the question is what sources of income does he have? Is he getting Social Security disability?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's getting there.
Okay.
And they have some kind of private insurance. I have no idea what. But like I said, his wife and him, they're estranged, but they still live together. And I just don't think she's on top of it. I don't think he's on top of it because... Mm-hmm. I don't know, but he calls me and asks me for money from time to time, which I don't mind giving him. But the thing that frustrates me is, I said, I walked in, I had cancer, I walked in, got signed up to VA the same day I walked in. I said, you were in twice as an officer and an enlisted guy. How can you not get signed up?
Because the primary mission of the VA hospital in terms of health care are for those who have service-related disabilities. So if you don't have a disability related to service, then the VA does use that geographic means testing, or basically they look at your income, and that's priority group 7.
He makes no money.
Well,
retirement. He has nothing.
Well, that's the thing that has to be addressed then, because if he has no income, and they do count household income, so I'm not certain if...
His wife doesn't work. He can't work. I mean, they have no income coming in at all. So he just told me that the disability been paying him too much. Now they got to pay him $6,000 back, which they have no idea how they're going to come up with $6,000 to pay the disability people back.
All right. Well, hold on here. I'm going to ask you, Dave, if you would give our screener here your name and phone number.
Yes, sir.
One of our guests here will give you a call and see if you can give us a contact info for your brother, okay?
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll do what we can for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So hopefully he didn't hang up right away. And, okay. that's an interesting question.
So the thing that Michael, you did, I could hear the anxiety in Dave's voice trying to help his brother, which I really appreciate him doing that. When I asked him if he's 100%, he answered yes, 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 but it wasn't service connected. And so we still could go out and help and pull the pieces. So that's why it's really important that we know the whole story.
You're right, and I am concerned about the fact that, I mean, no one, I don't believe, making is not getting rich getting paid Social Security disability.
No.
And so he should be well below the income guidelines for Priority Group 7 for the VA to take care of his health care.
I didn't look, but I'm sure there's a VA hospital near Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, there is. Yes. And
probably one right in the town.
Yes.
And
yes.
What we need to do is to figure out, maybe find a veteran service officer out in that area that might be able to help them out.
It certainly would help them navigate, because a lot of times people will say, for instance, his estranged spouse and him went in there, and the people said, well, how much money do you make? And maybe she said what she made and what he made, and their incomes together basically would disqualify them for – but if they're estranged, they shouldn't be considering her income.
Right. So there's a lot of issues, it sounds like, going on there that need to be figured out.
Right.
Wow. You know, we think we have a tough life sometimes. And, yes. Well, anyway, I was just calling up there. You know, I was going to give out the Legal Help for Veterans phone number here. It's 800-693-4800. So we want to make sure that, you know, if you do have any questions for that, you can give them a call. As I said, as General Fasson mentioned, they are a nationwide law firm that are fighting for veterans' rights, and at least they will always attempt to point you in the right direction, right?
Yes.
That's your job.
Well, something that's real interesting, I'm telling you, because sometimes I pick up the phone and go, Michael, the forms are not the easiest to fill out, and navigating the VA is not easy. And, you know, I've said this, I believe Veterans Radio, Michael, what you do, what I do, Legal Help for Veterans, Jim does every day, is to give our veterans hope. Please ask us to help you. The forms are not easy, and I would hate for you to go through a period of time submitting something and then to get a denial because you didn't fill out the forms properly. And Michael, you just articulated what could happen. They went in, how much money do you make? They said something, oh, I'm getting this. Okay, you make too much. That shouldn't be the question, as we've all talked about. And if Brian would have been on the phone there with us today, he would say the same thing. Come in to the VA Medical Center.
Exactly.
Ask questions. You know what? They will tell you that should never be the first question that's asked. So we're here to help you. Please just call us, call in, go to the websites. I do have as an ebook, paperwork, eligibility, and it's all free. Give us a phone call. We're here to help you.
That's the same thing with, I think, all of our VSOs around the country. Which is what we want to encourage people to do, is to contact their local Veterans Service Office, whether it's a county office or it's American Legion or Disabled American Veterans, whatever it is. Those people kind of know the ins and outs of what's going on at a VA center. They can direct you to the people to talk to. And I know that, and I can't say I know for sure, But I do know in Ann Arbor there are veterans advocates in the VA hospital that
yes.
will point
yes.
you in the direction, get you into the system, take you down the hall by the hand, and get you the help that you need.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and I just thought of my previous position, call if you're in a state, Florida, it doesn't matter what state, you've got a Veterans Affairs office. Call mm-hmm. that, tell them where you live, and they will help you. Whether in Louisiana, I always think I was dealing with parishes, which are counties. Find out a great representative like Michael Smith, and, mm-hmm. you know, they will help you at your Veterans Affairs office. And every state has one. So there are many resources, but please just don't give up.
Yes, do not give up. Okay. So what else is going? What else can we talk about today? I saw we don't usually want to get into politics, so I don't want to get into it too much. But I saw that the Congress is arguing over whether to give a pay raise or not. It was proposed 4%, but now they're arguing back and forth about whether it's a political stunt or it's sincere and everything else. And I think that it's from our standpoint here at Veterans Radio, it's necessary that our military earn enough money to survive on. And there are still people especially at the lower enlisted levels that have a hard time if they have a family. And when you consider that today's military is all volunteer, that I think that you're going to have to make those incentives in there to get more people to join up and more people to stay. I know they're giving out some pretty hefty bonuses for certain MOSs, military occupation specialties, right? They got to do something to make sure that these people want to get into the service and also to stay there. So that's my two cents for that one right now. Let's see, what else is going on that we need to know of? Carolyn, anything else going on in the disability world?
Well, I don't know if Michael has seen the change, but I think from us, I feel like I've been shouting about the system, the mail system that they had of all the mail going to one location. But some of it, I understand from some colleagues out there in the VA, in the regional offices, that they have noticed all the problems out in the field, and so it's going to be redistributed or decentralized across the country so that mail will be delivered, exams will be handled, the information, a lot expedient, so that people aren't missing their exams that they never knew about. So hopefully down the road, the mail system will improve.
So they've been, I know, because I always seem to get my mail from Janesville, Wisconsin, or Atlanta,
yes.
or somewhere else. It seems like it goes back and forth. It's like sending a postcard around, and you never know when you're going to get it.
So there was two things that the VA did with centralized mail many years ago was they established what's called a claims intake center. One was in Noonan, Georgia, and the other was in Janesville, Wisconsin. So the two places where mail could be sent through the U.S. Postal Service or faxed, it was to one of these two claims intake centers. Well, Janesville, Wisconsin got the entire contract, and it's literally what is there is a scanning vendor that gets all the mail, whether it's coming to them in the mail or it's coming to them by fax, and now coming to them electronically. And then they upload all that mail into the Veterans Benefits Management System, which is how claims get recognized as being
right.
received, and then they begin to get moved around in the national work queue to different sites for the processes of the claims. The issue that was most recent is at one point all 56 of the regional offices could handle and process electronic mail, get it to the scanning vendor. They just click a little button in the system that switches it and sends it to the scanning vendor. Well, back in January, the VA went down to just hubs to move electronic mail, and that's where some of the problems came in.
Okay, well, we're going to have to continue this next month. And so, Carolyn, give me a number. Would you please, anywhere up to 675?
Six.
Six?
Six.
All right. I got to find this person, and I don't think I'm going to be able to. I'm going to post it up. Look on our Facebook page, and we will get that out to you, who the winner is of the jacket for today. I want to make sure people remember that we're having the open mic on Wednesday night at the VFW 423 Hall on Wagner Road between 6 and 8 o'clock. We hope to see you, many of you there. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And until next week, you are dismissed.